We are joined right now by the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. He was named GM on January 8th, 2013, so quite a tenure there. Led Arizona to a 3-win improvement in 2020. Arizona coming off an 8-8 season. Steve Keim is my guest. Steve, it's great to have you back. Now, it's been a minute or two since you and I last spoke. Clearly, you've been doing work. How are you doing? How is your life right now, Steve?
Doing good, Romy. Thought we made some big improvements this past season. And want to continue this offseason to put a little gas on this fire, so to speak.
I like it. Like I said, you've been doing some work, and I want to get into what you did the past season. But can you take me back, Steve, when J.J. Watt announced that he and the Texans were parting ways? At that point, what was going through your mind, and what kind of plans and conversations did you have internally about him?
Well, the first thing I wanted to do was turn on the tape, because I hadn't evaluated him in several years for the obvious reasons. But after watching 2020 and seeing over 1,000 snaps, still see a guy that looks like J.J. Watt. I mean, tremendous hips and flexibility and great get-off, extremely disruptive, and has a great repertoire of pass rush moves.
Steve Keim joining us. All right, so there are other guys that maybe are not quite like that, but they've got characteristics and tendencies similar to what you just said. So what is it that makes him an outlier? Why is he so unique?
You know, I just think it comes down to passion. I mean, this guy has plays like it's his last snap. He's got great flexibility for at still his age. But the one thing that separates him is desire, his want to, and just his knack and his instincts for the game.
We're talking to Steve Keim. So, Steve, like, what were the conversations like with him during the process? For instance, what questions did he have for you, and what questions did you have for him?
Well, I think one of the first things is the quarterback play. I mean, I think that's what got us in the game is his feelings towards whatever team he was going to sign with quarterback, because obviously that has to give you a chance. So I know he's fond of Kyler Murray, which put us in the game, and then everything else that came to the table, whether it was Vance Joseph, who has coached him before in Houston, or the palm trees, the sun, the many different things that we have to offer, and playing beside Chandler Jones, two guys who since 2012 have led the NFL in sacks.
We're talking to Steve Keim. I'm eager to talk to you about your quarterback, Kyler Murray. I had him on the show earlier in the offseason. I could not have been more impressed by the way he came off when he came on the show. There's something else, though, Steve. Michael Bidwill was saying that Watt's signing, quote, raised the energy, end quote, around the team, and he called him a, quote, culture changer. For instance, what do you expect him to bring to the team, not only on the field, but in the locker room as well?
Well, I think it starts off with the accountability. I mean, you know, I think last year when you look back at the lack of consistency we had and why we finished 8-8, especially when at one point I think we were 6-3, you know, I just really feel like there was attention to detail and the little things. And a guy like J.J. Watt brings accountability. He's demanding. He's going to be hard on his teammates. He's going to be hard on his coaches. I mean, he wants to be coached and he wants to play at the highest level. And I think anytime you bring a player into that locker room, it just raises the bar for everyone.
Steve Keim joining us. You know, when you were 6-3, in fact, I was making the point, you guys are the team to beat, and I thought Kyler Murray was a definite MVP candidate at that point. But, Steve, to your point also, there might have been something that got away in the way of attention to detail, and you did lose some close games. So when you look at it, it was a team that improved by 3 wins last year, and you had 5 losses by single digits. In your experience in that league, is it a league where you need to build this thing step by step, brick by brick, or can you make a giant leap and skip a few of these steps in 1 year?
Well, I mean, I think Tampa shows that you can make a giant leap, but there has to be a number of things that come together. In our situation, we've made some strides, and it's been step by step. But I think this year is the year that we look to truly propel. I mean, you're looking at a quarterback who has been Rookie of the Year. His second year, he was one of 3 NFC quarterbacks in the Pro Bowl. And I think that the strides that he's going to make to year 3 is going to really catapult us into a position to be successful.
I was going to ask you about that because Kyler, how much did he grow from year 1 to year 2? And then what do you think that jump is going to look like from year 2 to year 3?
I think it's like most young quarterbacks. It's seeing the field, the progression, the command of the offense, all the nuances that come with playing that position. And I think it's just going to continue to get better and better. And his understanding of seeing more defenses in the NFL and what people are trying to do to him, so he can have that sort of in his Rolodex in his mind of, hey, I've seen this before, I've seen this coverage, and how do I adapt?
I mean, see, that's all real, right? I mean, the actual work that you have to do, the film study, the work that you have to put in, that's all a real thing. I get that. What about the intangible stuff? Like, even talking to him on the phone for 8 minutes or 10 minutes on the show, I'm just blown away by, like, the it. I can't explain what it is, but I know it when I see it. I know it when I hear it. I think this guy's got it coming out of his ears. Do you sense that? And then how important is that to somebody like that?
It is, because your teammates have to believe in you to follow. And Kyler has that confidence that you love in a quarterback, yet at the same time he's humble enough to admit when he makes mistakes. So again, when you have a bunch of offensive linemen in our situation, a number of guys who are quite a bit older than him, but they still follow him because he has that it factor and he has that competitiveness. And the guy is a football junkie. I mean, he and I talk all the time about different guys we'd like to add to the roster, different philosophies, and I love that part of it because he's embracing what we're doing as an organization.
Steve, it's really interesting what you just said, that he's a football junkie and he's got a lot of opinions and you talk to him because, and I'm not saying that it applies to other situations, but it seems like there are reports and there are speculation that some other franchise-type quarterbacks or veteran quarterbacks would like to have a say in the way things are done, be it Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. For instance, do you care what your quarterback thinks? Would you pick his brain? Does his opinion matter to you on personnel matters?
Yeah. I mean, I started way back my first time as GM with Carson Palmer. And if you ask Carson, you know, I used to pick his brain constantly. That, to me, is the only way that you can learn intimate knowledge on guys they've played with, how they see the game. And that's important. It doesn't mean that they're making the final decisions, but to have their input for me is very critical. And I think it's healthy for a relationship. Now, again, you have to have somebody that pulls the trigger and has broad shoulders and can take the criticism, but at the same time, to feel like our players are vested and they are bought in is something that feels special to me.
I think that's really interesting. Steve Keim joining us. All right, what about the defense? You've got some challenging decisions to make on that side of the ball as it relates to Patrick Peterson, Hassan Reddick. I understand that you can't get into the specifics. Overall, yeah, though, what are your plans when it comes to the defense for next season? What kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, there's a number of free agents that we'd like to have back. In fact, we have 28 pending free agents. And it's going to be interesting to see how this market goes. We don't have a hard cap yet. So are there going to be a number of one-year deals? I'd like to think so. There's going to be some guys who get paid on multi-year deals. But, you know, it could be a free fall, and it could go extremely fast with guys signing one-year deals. And we just have to gauge the market and see what makes best sense for us from a business standpoint.
Right, Steve, how do you do that? Like, there's no hard cap, and it's going to be a really unusual offseason in the sense of draft evaluations and things of that nature because there's no combine and we're still dealing with COVID. It's really unusual, so how do you approach it?
Well, you have to do a lot of things virtually, which after last year's draft, you at least have an understanding of how to do it that you can get by, but there's just pieces of information that will be missing, and you just have to deal with that. Sometimes, Romy, though, I've always said that we overthink the process at times. I mean, we get worried about what a guy ran in the 3-cone, and unfortunately, you don't do that at Sunday at 1 o'clock. So sometimes you can overthink the process, but at the same time, there are necessary things like the medical information, some of the background information, to get to know these kids as people. That is necessary for the process.
Steve Keim joining me for a few more moments. Steve, what about Larry Fitzgerald? He's got a decision to make. So what's the process for him and for the team?
Yeah, like every year, Larry takes a little bit of time, and this year it's taken a little longer than usual, but I have not talked to him. I'm sure that Michael Bidwell or myself will talk to him in the next coming weeks, and obviously he's earned the respect and you know, to be able to sit back and make his decision what's best for him and his family.
So really quick, Steve, you mentioned Tampa Bay. Jason Light worked for you in Arizona. He won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. I know you respect him very, very much, and you've got a friendship with him. What do you make of the job that he's done in the past year in particular, and how did it feel? Like, if it's not going to be you, how did it feel to see somebody you feel that strongly about have it pay off the way it did?
It felt amazing. I mean, to see both him and Bruce, you know, two guys who I have extremely close relationships with, and I don't think Jason gets enough credit. I mean, everybody wants to say Tom Brady was the GM. Jason had to put that team together. And you look at that defense and the way they fly around and a number of the guys like Devin White that he drafted, Vita Vea, and all the different players on that front, I think Jason's done an outstanding job. He was certainly my vote for Executive of the Year.
And then finally, he said something I thought was really interesting. He told The Athletic that he gives you a lot of credit because you taught him that it's a relationship business as much as anything else, and that the most valuable assets you can have are, in fact, good relationships. Where did you learn that, and why are relationships so important in that business?
Well, I just think at a young age, I mean, you know, you can go into any business and have an iron fist and have it in my way, the highway type of attitude. But how far does that generally get you? I mean, you got to be able to work with other people. There's a lot of moving parts to a lot of things we do in life. And I just think you have to have a positive outlook. And I think if you create relationships and you do the right things, I mean, I think that good things will happen. And it's just sort of the way things are going. I mean, this is a different world now, Jim.
It is a different world right now. Is it more challenging for you to maintain that positive outlook, or do you create these habits early on and they're just always there?
Well, you have to create a core philosophy, but you do have to change with the times. I mean, a lot of times you walk into the locker room and you see two players on getting their knees worked on, and one player is looking at his portfolio and the other one's watching YouTube and some guy playing Fortnite. I mean, that's how much different this world is. You know, I don't understand it, but I also have four kids and three boys, and those three boys are watching people play video games. I don't get it, but I have to adapt.
Yeah, what do we do with that, by the way? I've got the same exact issue in my house, except I've got one son, and one son went to college already. It is different. You and I don't want to be the old guys who don't adapt and change and don't get it, but we don't get it. So what do we do with it?
Shut them off and send their asses outside.
I like it. I like it. Steve Kimes, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals. He led them to a 3-win improvement in 2020. Steve, great to get caught up with you. Thank you very much. Always good to have you on the show, and I do appreciate the relationship.
Thanks, Roman. Appreciate you, my
man. You too, Steve. Thank you. Tell them to shut it off and get their asses outside. So in that sense, it really hasn't changed, because that's what my old man would have told me back in the day. There weren't video games back then. Maybe Mattel Electronic Football, which was awesome. Maybe Atari. But yeah, I got that same message from my old man back in the day. Shut the TV off. Get your ass outside. The kids. Yo, kids. Yeah, they don't have that same fear. I just knew, like, I could spend my entire Saturday or Sunday watching football, like, all day long. 8 hours, 9 hours. But I always knew the old man was around. I knew he was hovering. I knew the last thing that I wanted was for the sun to be shining, and it always is in Cali, for the sun to be out and for me to be squared up in front of a TV, because the old man was going to let me hear about it. And by let me hear about it, he was going to say, shut it off, get your ass outside.